Welcome to this Red Meat and Wool Growth Program podcast, brought to you by the Department of Primary Industries and Regions, Livestock SA and Animal Health Australia.
95% of wool exported from Australia is greasy wool. Sure, it's an interesting stat, but its true importance is that if there was an emergency animal disease outbreak, all wool exports would stop immediately. This is because the wool is unprocessed and has the potential to be carrying the disease. Exports would take months, possibly even years, to resume. G'day, I'm Drew Radford, and this nightmare scenario is what organisations like Wool Producers Australia are working hard to avoid by ensuring producers and the entire supply chain are across the importance of biosecurity. The general manager of this industry peak body grew up on a wool property, then went on to work as an agronomist and then in biosecurity assessment roles. His name is Adam Dawes, and he joins me in the PIRRSA studio. Thanks, Adam.
Thanks, Drew. Good to talk.
Adam, our focus today is biosecurity. Let's start by chatting about emergency animal diseases, otherwise known as EAD, which means things like foot and mouth. They're a huge threat to the Australian sheep industry. Can you explain why Wool Producers Australia think that EAD preparedness is so important for wool producers and also the broader supply chain?
Yeah, look, and I think probably on that, it's not just in relation to just sheep or wool industries, it's livestock industries broadly. We've had recent representations made from the Australian Chief Veterinary Officer, Dr. Mark Shipp, who said that we're almost a 50% chance of getting a major emergency animal disease outbreak of some sort in the next 5 years, and a 9% chance of getting an outbreak of foot and mouth disease. And as everyone's well-versed and well-aware with recent and ongoing experiences with COVID, the quicker we're able to act upon exotic diseases or emergency diseases, the quicker we can get control of them and minimise the impact. So there's an emergency animal disease response agreement that's been established as an agreement between industry and government, and that sets out roles and responsibilities and also sets out a framework for cost sharing associated with response activities. And it's important that we make sure that industries are understanding of obligations and mechanisms that exist under that agreement so that when an emergency disease does come to Australia, and we must approach it as if when it comes, not if it comes, we're ready to jump quickly, minimise impact and try and restore our favourable disease status to keep our really positive and favourable market access conditions.
Adam, they're concerning numbers, 50% of something occurring in the next 5 years. And we've been told the same with pandemics. It's not a case of if, it's a case of when. So you're very focused on this as an organisation. You're not just sitting around writing plans out, are you? You actually try and sit down and test them. You've done that recently.
Absolutely. So we do have plans in place, but what we've done is in September last year, we ran an exercise to test out our crisis response plans and our crisis communications plans to see if they are fit for purpose. And I guess through that process, we created a fictitious scenario of a wool producing property in southern New South Wales that had an incidence of foot and mouth disease. And we started to involve all of the post-farm gate sectors of the industry, varying from state governments, federal governments, and all of the people along the post-farm gate wool supply chain, in testing out how well our crisis communications plan and our emergency response plan, were they fit for purpose.
A really interesting exercise. You ran this over, what, two half days and involved everyone in the chain. But reading the review of this, it was that they had recently shorn and wool had gone from the property into the supply chain.
Absolutely. And what we found there is that when wool leaves a property, it's very obvious that it's not a linear closed loop flow through the supply chain. So we found the multitude of, I guess, methods in which that particular scenario could propagate the disease. We found, you know, that the scenario that we had, they had multiple properties, so you had workers moving between properties. As well, you would have had issues with regards to shearers and wool handling staff moving between properties. transport logistics. So we found that wool post-farm could potentially be mixed with or contaminate wool from other unaffected farms with viral fragments. We also found that samples that are taken for quality testing that assist with marketing of the wool potentially move to other states. So very, very convoluted process. One of the other points that we identified that was a real educator for a lot of our post-farm gate supply chain partners was that all of the wool that's exported from Australia, of which about 95% is exported in a greasy state, a raw state, all of that wool's accompanied by export health certificates, and all of those health certificates declare that Australia is free of foot and mouth disease. So the moment we get an outbreak of foot and mouth disease, our federal government is no longer able to issue export health certificates, which means that 95% of the wool that we produce no longer has a destination.
Is it as brutal as that? It would take years to try and get that back?
Absolutely. I mean, even under a best case scenario, we'd be looking at a stop of somewhere in the range of 6 to 12 months to re-establish market access for wool following an outbreak of foot and mouth disease virus. They'd obviously be on a priority basis, so we'd look to pursue restored market access with the biggest trading partners first, but it would be in that order of magnitude. No wool would be traded out of Australia in a greasy state for at least 6 months, which came as quite of a shock to a lot of the supply chain, particularly based on elements of the supply chain that carry debt while wool's in transit. There's a big commitment now to make sure that we continue to remain on top in terms of our EAD preparedness.
Adam, what would the change in scenario be for onshore wool processing should we be exposed to an EAD?
So I guess previously Australia used to process and export a lot of our wool in a processed state. What we started to see was with the emergence of offshore processing and manufacturing hubs and increasing costs of production here, a lot of our processing capacity got moved offshore. Today, we're only able to process around about 5% of the wool that we produce. And that processing takes place largely in the form of carbonising and scouring wool. So essentially washing wool and removing vegetable matter, grease and dirt from it and exporting it then. Once wool's been through that carbonisation or scouring process, then the risk of animal diseases like foot and mouth disease is removed. So wool producers are undertaking some work at the moment to explore opportunities to see if we can increase our domestic processing capacity. Other benefits such as jobs and value adding for our agricultural products here, but also major benefits in terms of our EAD preparedness. If we could process some of the wool here, then we could potentially manage an outbreak or wool that's produced within an outbreak area so that it can still continue to be re-exported. So yeah, we're starting to undertake a bit of work there as well, but it's not to say we can be complacent about other emergency animal disease preparedness activities.
What an irony that we offshore so much of this stuff, whereas in this particular case, if you were processing it here, the supply chain would incur a less of a hit.
Absolutely is. And I think, you know, we're starting to see now the rest of the world, and it's definitely going to be the case post-pandemic, starting to become more and more aware of the importance of biosecurity to the extent that OIE, the World Health Organization of the animal world, their notifications of regulatory requirements and disease outbreaks have been increasing by 60% year on year in recent years. So it's definitely a growing field of concern and something we need to relook at for maybe for reasons beyond just the commercial face value of it.
Adam, the detailed scenario testing that you did with Exercise Argonaut and, you know, looking at the impacts on the wool industry from an EAD outbreak, what would you like producers to take away from that?
One of the things that we identified through the exercise is that there is a need for us to develop some audience-specific communication tools. It's well and good for us to have resources built into response plans. They will sit very much in the knowledge of our federal and state government colleagues and within the industry bodies that own the enterprise manuals. But when the rubber hits the road and we do have an EAD outbreak, we need to get messaging to all parts of the supply chain. So we need messaging that's catered towards producers. We need messaging that's catered towards workers, contractors, the likes of shearers or wool handlers, and also to some of our post-farm gate supply chain partners that aren't necessarily engaged in managing biological processes on a day-to-day basis. So farmers have a fairly good understanding of disease control and biosecurity from managing their own farms. But once we start to get further along the supply chain, a lot of those supply chain members are more focused on commodity trading and finance risk management rather than biological risk management. So we are starting to work with Animal Health Australia to develop some resources to educate those different stakeholders based on their differing needs.
Arguably, is it a good time to be putting out that sort of communication? Would people be more receptive to it now that they have a personal insight through the pandemic?
Absolutely. I think it would be a missed opportunity if we didn't jump on it now. Having said that, when we jumped onto things back in September and had the exercise last year, we probably didn't expect the pandemic to still be continuing on in the way it is. But I think people now do have an appreciation on the need to act quickly to make sure that we don't need to manage ourselves out of a situation. We can manage ourselves back within the status quo as it was or restore that as quickly as possible.
Adam, you've talked there about the communication requirement. What are wool producers focusing on now in terms of emergency animal disease preparedness? What are you doing in that space?
What we found was that our actual measures were quite sound in terms of the EAD generic framework that sits there, but we need to make sure that the information is more readily available and easier to access. So we're also continuing to work with colleagues at Animal Health Australia to make sure that we rewrite the resources like our Wool Enterprise Response Manual and to start to develop resources like protocols that can be used in a wool warehouse, for example, in the event of an EAD outbreak. So those guys, you know, they're quite focused on what they do and they do what they do really well. And they're not necessarily thinking day to day, what do I need to do if there's an EAD outbreak tomorrow? We need to have some resources available for them so that they can pick them up if there is an EAD and at least have a starting point to start to understand what they need to do immediately and what they need to do to refine their systems to operate under an EAD conditions or, you know, what we might call what's going to be their COVID normal in the case of a foot and mouth disease outbreak.
Adam, what are the top three actions that you think producers can either stop doing, start doing, or change what they're doing now to improve biosecurity?
Yeah, so I think producers can start to make sure that they have an increased awareness of what they can do on farm to have good biosecurity processes and practices in place. That can be through quarantining stock and making sure that vehicle movements and contractor movements are controlled so that they can't bring in diseases, but also weeds and other exotic pests that are exotic to their property. And I think in talking to some of the guys that we've now got on, the likes of Emily Buttle, there is a growing producer understanding of the importance of doing that and not just having it there for the sake of a government process that's pushed upon them. I think as well, the other critical thing that producers can do is start to establish a relationship with their local vets or their local state department vets to make sure that they've got contact points that they can readily reach out to if they suspect that something isn't quite right. It's pretty quick these days. Most people, if not everyone's carrying a smartphone to take a quick video or a photo and send it off to someone if you feel like something is not quite right and just find out what it is. Because we know well and truly versed now with the likes of COVID, you know, people should get tested when they've got the most minor of symptoms. It should be the same if people see a condition they haven't seen in their animals before. They should ask someone for help.
Adam, where can our listeners find out more information or get support?
We're giving regular updates through the wool producers website and the communications that we put out, but I would encourage people initially, particularly our South Australian listeners, to get in touch with Emily Buttle and the biosecurity team at Livestock South Australia, and they'll be able to steer you in the right direction to help you get better prepared and to start to feed out those resources as we develop them.
Adam, some really valuable insights into the need to be prepared for emergency animal diseases. Adam Dawes, General Manager of Wool Producers Australia, thank you for joining me in the PRSA studio today.
Thanks, Drew. It's been a pleasure.
To find out more information or get support in implementing better biosecurity within your business, contact your local animal health advisor from the Department of Primary Industries and Regions or the South Australian Livestock Biosecurity Extension Team through the Livestock SA Office. The Red Meat and Wool Growth Program is an initiative of the Government of South Australia and supported by Meat and Livestock Australia, SA Sheep and Cattle Industry Funds and Sheep Connect SA.